What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbus, and I'm super excited. You know, I think we all kind of have been on the TikTok and the social media train for a long time now. And because of that, you see a lot of different people and a lot of different talent. And because I do this, a lot of my social media is filled with songwriters and artists and people singing songs and playing songs. And so that's where a lot of my social media content comes from. But years and years ago, I stumbled across this guest here, Eli Winders. Winders or Winders? I should have asked that
before. Winders.
Winders. Winders. All right. Winders. I should have asked this. I'm really bad with names. That's my other thing. It's like I never know how to pronounce names, and I should always ask, and I usually forget. But Eli Winders, I've been following you, dude, for a long time. I've been a follower of your TikTok page for a while when you used to do them on your back porch outside, all that jazz. So I'm a big fan. So thanks for coming to hang with me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you following along for so long and being there since, I mean, really the beginning. So
yeah, it's been a blast, right? How was that whole thing happen for you? Because how old are you?
I'm 19.
You're 19. Okay, so you're young. So you're 19 years old, right? You have a very your voice is very crisp. It's soothing. I think that's really cool. But have you been singing your entire life, or was this like something you picked up, 3 years ago because you were bored and you wanted to sit outside and play the guitar?
No, I mean, I haven't been singing my whole life. Let's see. I think I started when I was about 16. So, I mean, yeah, 3 years ago. But no, I mean, it wasn't really something because I was bored. I started playing guitar when I was 14. I worked for an event planner back in North Carolina, and we did weddings. And weddings is our big thing. But, like, she did a lot of, like, baby showers and, stuff such as that. And, like, the very first wedding I worked at, there was a live band there. And I just thought it was awesome what they were doing. They were playing live and people were dancing out on the dance floor. And I just thought that was awesome. And so, like, that night I went home and picked up the guitar and just started memorizing chords. Like, I printed off a chord chart and just started learning them. And it was about, like, let's see, like a year and a half, 2 years later when I was like, all right, like, this is cool, but I think I want to try to start singing and sure. Playing, which is like a whole nother thing. Cause I just wanted to play lead guitar, like electric. Yeah. Cause I had no idea I could sing. So, but yeah, I mean, I started when I was about 16 and then just, slow. I started posting TikToks when I was about that same time too. And they were
That's so crazy, man.
They have been made private now cause they were not very good. But, yeah. But yeah, I mean, really since I was 16 and it just kind of progressed over the last couple of years into what I'm doing now.
I knew you were young. I didn't realize you started that young. You know what I mean? Cause your voice is really mature. Your voice is incredibly mature. So I mean, I'm 25 at 16. I didn't sound like you. I don't even know if my full voice fully dropped at 16, to be honest with you. I'm not even positive if that's where that was, but I mean, but how do you get the confidence to do that? Because you weren't playing the guitar for that long either, which is the other crazy part, is like you picked up the guitar so fast. And then I don't know, like for me, playing the guitar is one thing. Playing the guitar singing is another thing. And everyone will tell you that. So were you like listening to other artists? Were you listening to other songwriters? And was that influencing how you were deciding you wanted to play and sing? Like, where are you pulling all that from?
It's kind of a tough question. Like, I don't remember. I grew up on classic rock. And yeah, like too. I was saying, like, I just wanted to play electric guitar. And so I was learning all these AC/DC riffs, Nirvana riffs. Like, I remember the first riff I learned was Come As You Are, I think.
Yeah.
And I sat down and, like, that was the first thing I learned to play. And I was just learning all that. And then once I started singing and like doing that thing, I just wanted to write a song. Like, I don't know where it came from, because I didn't even know that songwriting was as big of a thing as it is. And so, like, I mean, I just was like, let's do it. Let's try to write a song. I think it'd be cool. Yeah. And so I wrote this like really cheesy song about like turning 16 and driving my Jeep around and fishing with my buddies. And, and like, I went and played it for my parents and my brothers, and then, eventually played it in restaurants where I was playing it, and everybody loved it. They thought it was so cool. And so, like, I just fell in love with it from then, just because nobody from my hometown had, I don't know if they've ever written a song there.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think people think about it. And so everybody thought it was awesome. And, it was super cheesy, but I think it did start that whole snowball effect of, okay, this is cool and this is something I want to do forever.
Cool.
So I kept playing around with it and kept writing songs for fun. And I mean, I had probably written, let's see, there was probably like 200 or 300 notes in my phone of like ideas and songs from like the time I was 16 till I was 18. And so like, then that was just doing it for fun. And then when I was turning 18, posting all the TikToks and stuff and started building some traction, we started having conversations with like record labels and management and all this stuff. And I was like, oh shoot, like this is something, this is real. Like this is something I could do forever.
Right.
And that's when I seriously started songwriting and like really picking it up. So like we went from like 200 notes to probably coming up on 1,000 now. Yeah. In like a year. So
it's a lot of songs, man. That's a lot of songs.
I mean, I truly love writing. I think I've always been like an English brained person. Like in high school, I didn't love math. I didn't love, I was not math minded. I've always found English, you know, came easy to me to like write papers and stuff like that. And I just love it, man. That's I love awesome. Writing a song.
That's great. And that's great to hear because, I mean, you probably know this, but you know, as you look younger and younger in the music industry, there are a lot of people that love writing songs, but a lot of people just want to be rock stars. You know what I mean? So it's and that's cool too. But there's so many people that do love enjoy writing songs. But it's cool to see that, you know, at 19, that's something that you're incredibly passionate about. And, you know, I think it gives a lot of people hope for what's to come in the future. And I think that's really, really cool. Do your buddies give you a lot of shit when you started recording stuff and writing stuff? Because mine totally would.
No, they were all super cool about it.
That's awesome.
I mean, well, honestly, like when I first started, like I didn't really tell that many people like sure. that I knew. I just put it out there to see what would happen. And then so like honestly like a lot of people didn't even know about it. Like my parents didn't even know about it until probably like a year later. So I actually posted a video, it did really well. It was like The Devil Wears a Suit and Tie, and it was like the first time I ever had a video do great. And then like people from American Idol saw it and they contacted me and they were like, hey, like you want to do this thing? And so like I told my parents, I was like, hey, like you know, they found me, blah blah blah. And they're like, how did they find me? I was like, TikTok. I don't think they knew what TikTok was at the time. So I really didn't tell a lot of people about it. And I just like let it be its own thing, kind of separate. But then once that video blew up and like, man, my buddies thought it was awesome. They've been super supportive the whole time and always come to the shows back in the hometown. And like, I remember like the cheesy songs, man, that I was writing back when I was 16, 17, like they loved those too, like knew all the words to them and stuff. Yeah. So they've always been super great, super supportive. And well, I had a really tight group in high school and still keep in touch. So
yeah, you need that, man. And I'll tell you this, don't ever be afraid to play those songs, play those cheesy songs. Like even if it's not, you don't have to play it in front of people or release it, but if you want to like play them or once, like be proud of those, because there are so many people that have said, oh man, like this project I put out 5 years ago, it's horrible. Like, I don't understand why I don't even know why I keep it up, all this stuff. And I'm like, you got to understand there's people like me that listen to stuff all the time. And those songs mean something to someone, even if you think they're the worst songs ever, like those songs mean something to someone out there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know Absolutely. What I mean? So be proud of them. And it's cool to see the growth too. That's the other part of it.
For sure. Yeah. These songs have never seen the light of day on TikTok. So
well, these keep, are just keep like them away. Don't you know what to do?
Yeah, these are just the hometown boys know those, but
cool.
But yeah, I mean, I wrote Another Love. You probably saw that one. That was back on the porch back in those days. But I wrote that like January, I think, of 2022. So coming up on like 2 years ago, and that was like the first song I wrote that I was like, okay, this sounds like something somebody else was singing, and it was one. Songwriting is a weird thing. Like sometimes you sit down and you feel like you like, you know, put all your words on a piece of paper and like, you're like, oh wow. Like, I don't know where that came from.
Right.
And like, I sat down and wrote that song in probably 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a strange thing. Like I was saying, like you don't feel like you wrote it. And so I wrote that song and I was like, okay, like this sounds like something that somebody would sing. And that's when I was like, okay, I think I can do this. You know, obviously like that first song, like I thought it was cool and wanted to keep doing it. But that Another Love was the first one, I think, where I was like, okay, this is cool.
I think that's great. I think it's so great because, you know, there are so many artists that cut outside songs that the first thing that they say when people ask them about why they cut an outside song, it's because I just feel like it was supposed to be written for me, or like it feels like it's something I'm supposed to write, which makes you such a great songwriter to write a song for you to say, I don't know if it's for me, but I could definitely see someone singing this. Like that's super mature. So I think it's really cool that your brain is wired that way to do that. I think that's
I mean, and like with a thousand songs, you know, I've written since I was 16, you know, like I'm never going to put out 1,000 songs. Yeah, sure. And so that's one thing, like I definitely want to get into, the more, like the longer I'm out here in Nashville, is just like writing for other people.
Yeah.
Cause I think that's like another challenge in and of itself. Just being like, okay, like I'd love to like try to like push myself to write a song that fits with, you know, so-and-so's catalog or so-and-so's songs. And I think that's like a, you know, just a different way to like push yourself and challenge in the thing that I did. So,
Have you, explored with co-writing while you've been in Nashville? Cause you're there now, you've moved there.
Absolutely.
Is it something that came natural to you or did you struggle with it at first?
Like looking back, I definitely think I it was a learning curve for sure. Yeah. Just because I had gone from writing like so much by myself to writing with other people. And like, it's a different thing. Like it was never awkward. It was never, like weird. But just getting in there originally, I was thinking, man, like the first 2 months of being out here, I think I was like, man, I have like the worst writer's block of my life. And I think it was just like figuring out how to do that whole thing.
For sure. Yeah.
But now, I mean, and it's also, you got to find those people. Like I've written with upwards of 100 people since I've been out here.
Yeah.
And, that's just, I wrote like every single time I could, since I've been out here. And today I wrote with, Caroline Watkins and Matthew Morrissey, and we got a fire song. So I'm super excited to get it back.
Cool.
But I do love it. I think it's just finding those people that you work well with. And
I think you're right. And you know, people probably don't realize, I mean, people that listen to this probably do realize this, but maybe not necessarily, that as big as the industry is, it's also so small, right? So so finding your apprehensive to use this word, but click, right? Finding the people that you work well with is important because you always have someone to go back to, even if you're spreading your wings and writing with three people you've never met before. You know what I mean? At least you have those, you know, X amount of people you can go back to and you know that you're going to, your minds are kind of in the same spot and you're going to write something that will maybe, you know, keep you going. Like maybe you go on 2 weeks of just, you don't know what to write about. You're hitting blocks. You're not as strong in a room as you want to be, but then you go back to those five people that you know you can trust and you write something. You're like, oh man, I still got it. I just had a rough couple of weeks. You know what I mean? I think that's important too, especially when you're young. I think that's really important.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still write, I write every day, but like this week I've written like 3 songs by myself, like full songs. And so like, I'm still writing a ton by myself. And I think there's definitely something special to a song that an artist like writes by themselves. I think there's like a sense of pride that like when they play it there, especially for me, when I play it, I'm like, you know, I wrote this, like this means so much to me.
Yeah.
And like it connects you to that song like emotionally. So when you're playing it, you know, you feel it and you're delivering it like how you want it to be. And so I love writing a song by myself. Not to, you know, shade the co-writers or whatever, but no, I enjoy that too.
Yeah.
And I've gotten some great songs from co-writes this summer. We got so many songs. I'm excited to get some of these out.
I love it. That's so awesome. Now you just you signed a record deal this year, didn't you?
I did. I signed with Atlantic back in January.
How does that feel?
It's awesome. I mean, it's truly a dream come true to be working with the team that I have. Yeah. You know, for them to sign me so small and so young, like just truly means the world to me, because like I know that they have faith in me that I'm going to do something big because they're taking a risk on me. And so, you know, I couldn't be more thankful for what they've done for me. And I mean, truly just changed my life and allowed me to pursue my dream and make this thing happen. So
you deserve it, dude. It's pretty cool. It's pretty.
Thank you. I was
really excited when I saw that. I was like, oh, this is cool. Cause you see all these guys that are so, so good. And you just have to find the right people to believe in you. And I think that's really cool that they believed in you and that they went in that direction, obviously it's worked out on both sides. So that's pretty awesome. Where are they? Are they in LA or are they in New York?
Both. LA and New York.
So yeah. Have you been to both prior to this or no?
I have, yeah. So first meeting was like actually this time last year. Well, not first meeting, but first like in-person meeting. I flew us up to New York last year, and me and my dad went up there and sat down with Pete Gambarg and Catherine Hoppe, and just had some conversations. I played a couple songs, and then they kind of gave us the go ahead, and then did some negotiations and stuff like that, and then I flew out to LA in January.
Yeah, do you have a which one do you like more? No, you don't
New
like
York City or
one or
LA?
between the two.
I don't know. They're both so different. Like LA
I've
was,
never been to LA, so I don't have an opinion, but I've been to New York more times than I want to.
yeah. I think, man, I don't know. Like I wouldn't live in either. Like it's just
Yeah, neither would I.
not my thing.
No.
But I mean, I really loved both. I think I'll have to say New York better, just because
Wow.
I don't know. I think New York's super cool, and there was just good vibe up there. But I loved LA too. Yeah, I mean, they were both great, but I don't
I have
know.
a love hate with New York. I'm not gonna lie. Love hate, because you gotta understand, when you like I live really close. Like
Yeah.
I have a doctor that's in New York City. Like I drive in New York and I come out just because that's where she's located, right? So
Yeah.
like I can, if there's no traffic, which obviously isn't the case, but if there's no traffic ever, I can get in probably 15 minutes and I can get out. And so like we're right there. It's really close. But for me, it's just I don't know. There's a lot of crazies in New York. There's a lot of crazies. A lot of crazies. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. I understand why people like it. I don't know, but it's not my thing either. I need some space. Let's just put it that way. I need a little bit of
Yeah.
space.
No, I got you. I got you.
I love it. That's great. But I think it's awesome. I love that this is allowing you to go to other places and see other places. And also, I think it's just fantastic that your parents are just also so supportive in your career. And just, you're 19. You know, I mean, how many, kids that turn 18, their parents probably like, oh, go to college, figure out the rest of it afterwards. Even like, what the craziest thing about that whole thing is like, Garth Brooks has a daughter who's, in her late 20s now, but she is a songwriter and an artist herself. And I remember I met Garth Brooks years and years ago, and we were sitting there, and he said, and I didn't know that he had a daughter that played music at this time. But I remember thinking back at it, and he said, we have a daughter who's a sophomore in college, and we told her, she gets her degree, she can go do music afterwards. It's really cool that your parents are allowing you to chase your dream now and use this time now and go for it.
Yeah, I mean, they've been supportive since day one. Like I remember the first show I ever played, me and my dad and another guy were just hanging out downtown in my small town. We were in this little bar in the afternoon. There's catching up. He I'm from a military town back in North Carolina, and so a lot of the guys that we went to church with growing up with, obviously I got stationed somewhere else at some point. So one of these guys was coming back to town, just catching up over a drink. And he was like, there was like a guitar on the wall in there. And there was like maybe four people in the bar, like four or five people. And he was like, man, go up there and like just play a couple songs. Like, it's not gonna hurt anything. And I went up there and played for like 3 hours and made like
Wow.
$100 in tips. And so he's always been like super supportive and trying to get me shows lined up and just introduce me to people around town. And then my mom's always told me, if it's truly what I want to do, that's what I should do. From like a super young age, where there was none of what's going on now in sight. I mean, there was, less than like 5,000 followers on TikTok. And there was like no guarantee at all. She was always like, you should move out there, 21, 22, when I had, a little more experience and stuff like that. But man, they've always been super supportive, and I can't be more thankful for what they did. But yeah, they did tell me to go to college, so I went to community college for 8 weeks, and then the record deal stuff started happening, and they're like, "All right, you're good."
It's time to go. You're all right. You
Yeah.
got bigger things to worry about. Hey, and the best part about it is you can always go back if you really want to go back later in life. So it's all right. There's no,
Yeah.
hey, as a guy who went to college, graduated college, and now has to pay off his college debt, you're okay. Just you're all right. Just it's it'll come. I don't think you need it. You seem like a smart guy. It's all right. You don't need college to succeed. I'm a firm believer in that. But I love it. I think that you know, having supportive roots is really important, and just to, you know, keep you driven and keep you going. I don't know if anyone's parents who have a kid who's a creative has really ever said, don't chase your dreams, right? I mean, even my parents tell me to chase my dreams every day. And, you know, I still haven't succeeded what those dreams might be. But the best part is that, you know, you're always chasing for something. You're always trying to grow. I think that's really cool. But so Nashville, you're there. You're doing great. You have a record deal. It's awesome. That's so sick. 19 years old. So awesome. You put out your first song on streaming services a few weeks back.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, obviously you've been teasing it and it's just great, but Pack My Hometown. I love the song. It's true to probably most people who love music, where, you know, it's basically about leaving the best parts of your hometown in the dust and going and, you know, seeing this new adventure and missing those things that you had before. Right. And, it's an incredibly personal song. And so talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that song, super, obviously super, super special. That was the first co-write I ever did. And
no way. That's cool.
Yeah. So I had written like a big piece of it back home. And then we were taking trips out to Nashville and just like taking meetings with people. And I have set up a couple co-writes out here. And so that one was with Eric, or just the guy who co-wrote it with me and produced it as well. And I just like brought him in this like song that it was, you know, it was good, not great. And it was just close to what it is. And we pieced it all together and added a little bit here and there. And then he did a like day of demo and sent it back to me that night. And I sent it to the team. And that was like the first time any of us had ever heard anything like recorded like that. And everybody loved it. And so from then, I think we were all pretty excited about it. And then come like a month later, we posted it on TikTok. I was like, you know, just let's just see what happens. And so I went around my hometown and just like took some videos of like literally like the cornfields, or not the cornfield, but the fields and like that, like the little main street or whatever. Just took some videos down there and posted that up there. And I think it got like 80,000 views or something. Like it did really well.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, like let's put it out. Like there's no need to like wait. Even though we did wait a little while to put it out, but yeah, we were super down for it. And I love that about the team. Like, we just want to put out music and get it done. So check out the release date back. Next song's coming out November 10th. So
November 10th, it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. I love it. Hey, listen, this song's got what, 700,000 streams at this point? Think about it.
Hit a million, man.
A million. Jesus. Yeah. My God, a million streams, dude. You're 19 years old. You started this 3 years ago. A million streams. Come on, think about that.
It's awesome. Yeah, it blew me away. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but I definitely didn't expect that in, you know, a couple weeks. And so I couldn't be more thankful. So
you know what I love about you, and I've realized this. Well, one, you're incredibly humble. You're super talented, and I think that just is based on, you know, how you were raised, and I think that's fantastic. But you know, there are a lot of people that will see you probably and say, okay, he just came out of nowhere, right? But it's not true. Like, whether it's 3 years or 10 years, you still really worked hard for 3 years to get to where you are, right? You
absolutely
worked on your craft. Because the other thing that people have to realize is like 4 years ago, you weren't singing, you know, like you weren't really playing the guitar. So you really have to think about everything you've worked on in the last, because you know, you watch videos, like you're a good guitar player, dude, and you're a great singer. So like you think about it, and the amount of work that goes into the last 4 years of your life to get to where you are, it's so inspiring. So
yeah, thank you. I mean, I think truly, like I think from a young age, like I was always like looking for something like creative to do, like kind of funny now looking back, but like I used to do like origami when I was like little
sure.
And like just like fold, you know, fold paper into like little things, and I would like teach myself how to do that, and like solving Rubik's cubes and stuff like that. Like I've always been like, I
so
guess
you're a self-taughter.
Yeah, and I've always been like obsessive over those things, I think. Cool. And so like when I like picked up a guitar and like started like piecing it together and figuring it out, like I just obsessed over it, and I put so much time into it, and like I still do. Like I still spend hours and hours and hours a day like writing a song or just singing. And I think that's I think that also helped, like, just speed up the process. Like, yeah, it's only been 4 years, but I feel like I've played, like, so much and written so much in those 4 years.
Yeah.
And just because I'm truly, like, obsessed with writing songs and playing and singing. And it's just absolutely what I love. But yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy ride so far, and I think there's a lot more to come, and
There is too.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's incredible. Who are some of you know, like you said, you grew up in a lot of classic rock and you started playing a few years ago. And so through this journey, I'm sure you've discovered artists that you probably didn't know that have been established for a long time, but you probably didn't know 3-4 years ago. Are there any of them that stick out in your head that you're really inspired by today?
Yeah, so, like, I didn't get a phone until I was 16. And so I couldn't, like, I had, like, an Amazon Alexa that I, like, could stream music through. Wow. But other than that, like, I couldn't, like, I didn't really find out about, like, this outlaw side of country until I got a phone. But I grew up on, like, listening to Avett Brothers as well. Avett Brothers and, like, Trampled by Turtles. Like, it's more, like, bluegrassy sound.
Yeah.
And, like, when my dad would play it, like, I hated it. Like, I did not like it at all. And then once I started playing guitar, like, I found, like, the... You know, I grew to love it. But once I got my phone, I found about Tyler Childers and then just deep dove into that. And so, like, this is right when I'm starting to play these shows. And, like, I play, like, basically 3-hour sets of Tyler Childers. Like,
yeah.
I loved his stuff. Tyler and then Sturgill as well.
The cover of O'Sara is great, by the way.
What was that?
The cover of O'Sara is really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. No, I'd say Sturgill now is probably my number one influence and, like, who I love to listen to. I just love how, like, wide his, like, just variety of stuff is. He's got, like, the super, you know, country, High Top Mountain, and then Meta Modern Sounds. And now he's got the bluegrass stuff. And then he's got, like, the rock and roll stuff, too. Yeah. So I just appreciate that as, like, an artist. Like, I think it's super cool. But yeah, I mean, and then in high school, we were listening to, like, Zach Bryan, Tanner Usry, Whiskey Myers.
Tanner's a friend of mine. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's super cool. Yeah, we were just listening to all that, like, Red Dirt, like Turnpike. Yeah, I mean, all those guys. And so that was, like, cool back home. Like, now you get out to Nashville, like, everybody knows who those guys are. But,
right,
like, because, I mean, everybody's, like, deep diving into music out here. But back home, like, nobody was listening to that stuff. And so we were, like, the ones, like, listening to all this, like, deep cut country guys.
Well,
and
least
so,
you had, at least you had people to listen to that stuff too, because when I discovered it, there's no one that wanted to listen to it, so it's just me in my own head, you know what I mean? So that was it.
Yeah, no, we were
all
dude,
that
we
stuff
were
in my own head.
We were jamming it, man. We were my buddy, dude, we were listening to, like, Gavin Adcock in high school too.
Wow.
And nice. Yeah, my buddy loves Gavin Adcock, and he put me on. And so, like, we'd always find these new guys and be like, dude, you got to check this guy, you got to check this guy out. And so but yeah, I mean, all those, Midland's a big one. I love Midland. And then recently, like, I've been getting into, not recently, it's been since before I moved out to Nashville, right before I started, like, deep dove into Eric Church's stuff. Like, I had known, like,
that's my guy.
Yeah. I had known, like, Springsteen and Drinking My Hand and all that stuff. But, like, I was playing a wedding right before I moved out here. And they wanted me to sing Like Jesus Does. And so I listened to that song, and I was like, this is phenomenal songwriting. Like, I need a deep dive. Like, I'd always heard Eric was, like, a great writer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I never deep dove into his stuff like I did. And now I'd say he's up there with, like, the top inspiration.
Do you have a favorite Eric record?
I'm going to have to say the Carolina record.
See, I was going to say, if you don't say Carolina, there's a problem. I mean,
yeah, no,
but that's my favorite too. It's my favorite too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just got Where She Told Me to Go is incredible. Obviously Carolina, like, they play that after every UNC football game. Yeah. So there's, you know, some
Those I've loved is great.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So great. Oh man.
Yeah. I'd say Carolina. There's just so many on there that I'm like, this is a incredible song.
My favorite thing about that album is, like, at that point, the only other thing that was out was Sinners Like Me, right? So, right. So, like, you have Sinners Like Me, and then a year and a half later, whatever it was Carolina. And they're totally different. Like, Sinners Like Me is kind of like this the way I interpret Sinners Like Me is kind of like this, and in that area of country music was like, screw what you're doing, look at how different I am kind of deal, right? Like a kick in the teeth type thing. Then he goes with Carolina, and it's like this heartfelt, like, here's my soft side of things. But then all of a sudden he just puts like Leave My Willie on there. And you're like, it's just like this entire like softy project, and then just Leave My Willie Alone. And I'm just like, that's insane. But I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's cool that you like Eric. And you know what? There's one thing that I've noticed over the last few years in the music industry, whether I think it's good or bad, it doesn't necessarily matter. But I think that it's really cool to see this influence of like, you know, people up here liking Childers, right? Like, I think that's cool for me. I've been listening to Childers for a long time, but I think it's cool that people like that stuff up here because, you know, you hear country music and everyone thinks that they know what country music is up here in New Jersey, right? But no one really knows what it is. They tell you what they think it is and they're all very opinionated, but usually they don't really know. But what I'm saying is that people like Child Childers, which is great. People like Zach Bryan, which is great too, because it opens up this entire side of the genre to other people. Whether I really like Tyler Childers. I don't necessarily love his new stuff, and that's just my opinion, but I still think he's fantastic and he's talented. So what I like is that these people that are singing songs now, a lot of them are trying to emulate guys like Zach Bryan and Tyler Childers, and you see it, you know, very often. But what I like is that those are big influences from you, and yeah, maybe it makes sense if I listen, but also everything you sing, you make it totally yourself. And I think that's so important especially when you're singing covers, right? Because no one wants to be the cover person where everyone in the comments is sing Follow Me to Virgie, sing Rocks and Salt, you know what I mean? Like sing all of these songs because you sound like this guy. You want to be your own person. I think you've succeeded that. And I think that's really great.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Cause that's something that I definitely, you know, have thought about a lot. Like, you can't be a copycat because you're just like a lesser version of what somebody else has already done. And so, like, I think, you know, to truly make it, like, like you're saying, you have to make everything your own. And that's the only way to like stand out. You can't be a copycat. Like you're saying, I think that only gets you so far as like the cover guy. They're like, oh, this guy sounds exactly like Tyler Jones, exactly like Zach Bryan. Yeah. So, I mean, I've definitely thought about that a lot and just, you know,
and that's the beautiful thing about covers. That's the beautiful thing about covers is if you can make it your own, especially if you're someone that is established enough to release their own version of a cover. If you can make it your own, it can really change things. Obviously, we've seen it a million times, right? We've seen it with Tennessee Whiskey, right? Stapleton made it his own. It sounds nothing like the original four recordings or whatever it is. And, you know, like obviously Wallen put out Cover Me Up and now everyone and their mother thinks that's a Morgan Wallen song, right? But whatever, I mean, it still gave the song a new life, which I think is still, you know, there's still something to be said about that. And I mean, there's a million examples that we can fall down, but I think that there's some power to making a song that you feel strongly about, your own. And you're right, to have longevity in this industry and in this genre, you have to be original. It's just, it is what it is. So I think what you're doing is fantastic, man. I really do. And I'm really excited to see what's coming up the pipe. So you have a new song November 10th, you said, right?
Yep.
What's the
Carolina
name?
Carolina Blue.
Oh,
Carolina
it's coming Blue. Out. I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I was going to ask when it's coming out.
November 10th. I'm super excited. The team is super excited. It's like Pack My Hometown took a step forward. And so we built it up a little bit more. So added a little banjo to it, and it's cool. It's really cool. I'm super excited. It's got this folky feel to it. So I mean, it's not like super country. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I've been waiting for this. I'm ready. I didn't know the one that was coming out. I'm ready. This is gonna be good. This is gonna be
I'm because we haven't leaked like the actual recording of it yet. So Friday we're gonna post something with the actual recording. So
if you're listening to this right now, that recording's out. If you're listening to this right now, that recording's out, and you should go listen to what's to come, and then the song will come out. At this point, what is it? The 18th song will come out in, I guess, a week if you're listening to this, probably. I think so. I usually have problems with where I'm at in the week and where this is gonna go. So if you're listening to this right now, I think the song's out in a week. We're going to say that. That's what we're going to go with. Let's do that. But I love it. Carolina Blue, man. What a great song. This is going to be so awesome. I had no idea. I'm so surprised. Eli, thanks for coming to hang out with me, man. Thanks for coming to tell a little bit about your story and what you got going on and how you found yourself in Music City doing all the good things. You got a great head on your shoulders. You're absolutely fantastic. You're super talented. And I just think the future is incredibly bright for you. So thanks for coming to hang with me.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you having me and I enjoyed it.
Of course. Come hang out anytime. And if you ever have to come back up here in New York, let me know. We'll get
I will. I will.
Or if I'm in Nashville, that might be easier
yeah,
too.
But absolutely.
You never know. It depends on where we are. But everybody, you can go follow Eli on Instagram, Eli.Winders. On Instagram, you can stay up to date with songs and obviously Carolina Blues on the way. If you're listening now, I should be out next week and go listen to Pack My Hometown, which is out now, and go share it with your friends. And if you really love great songwriting and great songs, this is the guy you should be checking out if you don't know him already. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Thank you for tuning in, man. I really appreciate it. It's been a blessing to do this for 170, maybe 180 straight weeks. I'm not really sure where I am on numbers, but it's been a blessing. So it's been a blast, and we're going to keep on going. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Kyle. That's Eli. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.